VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And today we want to welcome new listeners over radio station KVDI, serving the Huxley, Des Moines, Ames, Iowa area, 99.3 in the radio dial. Welcome here to Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a regular listener to this program, you'll know that we're in a war. A war between a biblical worldview and a secular worldview. It rears up in so many different facets, whether it's creation versus evolution, life versus killing the unborn in the womb, global governance versus national sovereignty, and the list goes on. But one of the more prevalent battles that's going on in society today is the battle over matters pertaining to gender, the battles over those issues pertaining to marriage. I mean, we are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours or the restroom debates or gender reassignment surgeries, biological males playing on female athletic teams, and the list goes on. Many in our society have abandoned the authority of God's word on this issue, and instead, they're asking the question, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Well, today our program is designed to help equip students, parents, Christian leaders, pastors, and others to uphold the truths of scriptures on these critical issues. Joining us today is our privilege to have back with us Bodie Hodge. He's a speaker, author, and researcher at Answers in Genesis. He's a member of the Editorial Review Board and has been involved in many books and DVDs. He's a regular speaker in the Creation Museum Speaker Series. He's an author, co-author, or editor of numerous books, but one that we're focusing on today is he's co-editor of a book that we're discussing, The Gender and Marriage War. Bodie, good to have you with us here today on Crosstalk.
Hey, it's great to be on the show.
When it comes to these issues, I mean, the war is really only intensifying. Just before walking in the studio, we became aware of a story sent to us that Kraft Foods has now released this limited edition children's book on the importance of using transgender pronouns. And Bodie, as you know, this is just one small example from corporate America, but these issues are being promoted through the educational system, entertainment venues, through social media, broadcast media. This is really quite a tidal wave hitting us, is it not?
Oh, it sure is. You know, it's even striking into the churches. You know, I've been seeing that across the Western world, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, we're seeing it left, right, and center. And, you know, I've had a lot of Christians come up and say, you know, what do we do? They don't even understand the debate, let alone know how to respond to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got this new book to deal with that.
Well, the book is entitled The Gender and Marriage War. When did this war begin?
Oh, it started with sin. you know, I would go all the way back. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, you know, we started to see problems in marriage probably even then, even between Adam and Eve, and it's carried forward. But we see a lot of forms of attacks on marriage throughout history. Mm-hmm. But in our modern day and age, I would suggest the 1960s, 1970s, around that time is really when what I would call the modern gender and marriage war really started to take place.
So what happened during the 60s to receive that notoriety? I mean, it's termed the sexual revolution.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, there's a big foundation leading to that, because that's more like the fruit. Hmm. You know, a lot of times, you know, we don't want to look at that foundation of where that fruit came from, but let's look at it. You know, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, there was a big shift going on in the Western world. People were starting to reject God and His Word when they started to look at a host of different subjects. One of those main subjects was the subject of creation. People rejected God's word. They started to hold on to man's ideas. They started to stretch out the age of the earth. They would get millions and billions of years, evolutionary ideas, and so forth. So we started to see those types of attacks on the Bible. We started to see higher criticism, attacks on, hey, did Moses really even write Genesis? So we get these things left, right, and center. We hit the Scopes trial in 1925, creation versus evolution over human evolution being taught in schools. Next thing you know, we start to see the Bible ripped out of school, prayer ripped out of school. We saw just the Bible taken out of every subject. And then all of a sudden, we start to see this sexual revolution. This is people starting to live out the fruit of that worldview that has rejected God and His Word. And all of a sudden, people, particularly Christians, started looking at us going, what is going on? But there was a big root system leading up to that fruit.
Matter of fact, in the book, you use the term sexual humanism.
That's correct, yes. And, you know, a number of other people have used this over the years. Sexual humanism, just so the listeners understand what we're talking about, there's a larger religion called humanism. And I would suggest, you know, I was involved in a World Religions and Cults book series where we hit over 60 world religions and cults. But we started that book with the fact that there's only two religions in the world. Don't be confused, there's just two, gods and not gods. And if it doesn't come from God, one way or another, it comes through the mind of man. That is the religion of humanism in its broadest sense. Whether it's Islam, Hinduism, atheism, or sexual humanism here, they are all part and parcel of a humanistic worldview. Now, sexual humanism itself specifically is a subset of the secular forms of humanism. And the secular forms of humanism are what are dominating the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, so much of the Western world, where people have rejected God, elevated man. You might think Big Bang evolution, millions of years, that's secular humanism. There's a lot of forms of it, atheism, agnosticism, and so forth. But sexual humanism is one of the forms that come out of that, where things are defined by sex.
Bodhi Hodge is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and it's important for us to point out, as you indicate in your book, that these issues are not only confronting us in the world, but as you said earlier in your statements here, it's confronting the church too. And this book, The Gender and Marriage Wars, indicates that we're currently at a breaking point to which sexual humanism is rampant in the church, and states the church is in sexual rebellion against God. So, Bodhi, tell us what is happening in the church on this issue.
Well, so often, children, for generations now, in the church have been sent to the secular world for teaching. Like I said earlier, you know, the Bible's been ripped out of schools.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to 1840, you know, the Bible was used in the classroom. It was used for science and history and literature and logic. But the Bible's been ripped out of all that. And I want people to realize when the Bible was kicked out of the classroom, they didn't kick religion out, they kicked Christianity out. And it's been replaced with the secular forms of humanism, which now dominate these areas. Now, as a result, though, Christians are still sending their children to this education system, and they're no longer being taught a biblical worldview. They're now being taught a humanistic or a secular worldview. And those same people now have been raised up. They're now running the churches, and now their kids are still going to the same secular system. I went through it. I was drilled left, right, and center with a secular worldview, yet at the same time I was going to church, I struggled with those two. And I would suggest the same thing is happening right now. So many people in our churches are influenced by the secular world's view of sex, gender, marriage, and so forth.
So let's talk about this attack on biblical marriage. I mean, we have a U.S. Supreme Court that has ruled in so-called same-sex marriage. They said this is constitutional. We now hear of thruples, three people in an intimate relationship, and those who are advocating for polygamy to take place. What is the very foundational nature of this fight that we're in, Bodhi?
Well, it's definitely an authority issue. When you reject God and His Word, by default, man becomes that authority. And so that's that battle. We have people rejecting God and His Word, whether it's from the Supreme Court or whether it's down in a kindergarten class.
Mm-hmm.
People are rejecting God and His Word. And that's where the solution is going to be, by the way. If people want to reject God and His Word, guess what? These are just consequences of a secular worldview. But you've got to get back to God's Word. Let God be the absolute authority on the subject of marriage, on the subjects of polygamy, on the subjects of you name it. Let God be the authority. That's where the battleground really is.
So let's understand where this concept of marriage even comes from.
That's right. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, that is the first marriage, man and a woman right there. In fact, Jesus was asked about marriage and divorce, and in Matthew 19 as well as in Mark 10, Jesus responds to the question was specifically about divorce, which concerned marriage, and he went back and quoted Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 as literal history as the basis for the doctrine of marriage.
And I like that. You know, haven't you heard this?
That's right.
Yeah. Very interesting. Jesus went back to the scripture, the very foundation there of marriage itself.
Right.
You know, on this issue, though, Bodhi, there are many that will look at scripture and they'll say, aha, look, here Jacob had more than one wife. David, a man after God's own heart, he had multiple wives. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, look how many wives he had. How can you say marriage is between one man and one woman where the Bible seems to hold these individuals up to us?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that if you look at these different examples, as soon as people took on multiple wives, they ran into so many problems. You know, if you go back and actually look carefully at David's life, for example. I mean, the poor man was miserable as a result of a lot of things that happened. You know, he got to see one of his own sons die. You know, you look back at Jacob and all the strife that he went through. If you look at Solomon, you know, do you realize what happened with Solomon? Here's this man with incredible wisdom, and at the end of his life, the Lord was absolutely and utterly disgusted with him because he was out there sacrificing to pagan gods because these women had led him astray. So, you know, we have to look a little bit closer than just, oh, here's a big picture. These guys had multiple wives. You have to be careful of it. You know, there was a person before the flood that was bragging about having multiple wives. His name was Lamech. He was also a murderer, and, you know, he was caught up in all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful of just saying, well, just because it's mentioned in the Bible means it's okay. The Bible, you know, oftentimes points out things because God is honest with the sin that's out there, but that doesn't mean that he's accepting it or condoning it.
But one thing we do learn, sin has consequences.
Sure does.
Yeah. Bodhi Hodge with us here today. Bodhi, there are those who will say, well, you've got your morality, and I'm glad you do. I've got mine, though. How can we discern what is the correct morality, and can we say one is really correct?
Yeah, well, that's relativism. You know, that's part of a secular religion, actually. But yeah, you know, we can, because God is the absolute authority on every area. Every moral issue, God is the absolute lawgiver on that. And so that's the key, is testing this stuff against God and his word. When people, once again, they want to reject God and his word, they want to elevate their own thoughts to supersede God. When somebody comes up and says, well, I don't believe the Bible, I'm going to have my own morality, what they're saying is they're God. And we need to point that out to them, saying, do you really think you're above God on all these sorts of things?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there might be somebody that's audacious enough to say, yeah, of course I am. But, you know, you can point out the fallacies in that. That's what they're doing. They're elevating themselves to supersede God.
There is a chapter in this book on cross-generational sex. What is that?
You know, I actually wrote that chapter, and it was actually very tough for me to write that chapter because that's a fancy way of saying pedophilia. And you may not believe this, but just yesterday there was an article that came out, and I've got it pulled up right now on my computer. It's from The Federalist. A transgender professor at Old Dominion University rebrands pedophiles as minor attracted persons.
My.
So you hear that name, you hear cross-generational sex. What it is, pedophilia, this is child sex. This is child sex abuse, more specifically. And yet we're in a culture where we got a professor here, we've got the secular media, they're promoting this as though it's okay. Now, the name pedophile or pedophilia has a really bad name out there, has a terrible connotation because it's downright evil. So what they do is they change the name. They call it cross-generational sex. They call it minor attracted persons and so forth to try to lighten the blow. A lot of people, they don't know what that means, so they think it's okay. What it is it's attacking children sexually.
Bodhi Hodge is with us today, friends. We're going to take a quick break. We're discussing the book, The Gender and Marriage War. It's a book that really takes us back to God's Word, what God's Word has to say on these very issues to build in you a foundation on these issues, to equip you to uphold the truths of Scriptures on these critical issues. We'll take a quick break. We'll also share with you how you can obtain a copy of The Gender and Marriage War. So stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence that man and dinosaurs lived together?
Yes, indeed there is, Chris. The Bible even describes dinosaur-like beasts in the book of Job, and Job lived after the flood. Also, we see numerous places where native peoples drew pictures of dinosaur-like beasts. Almost every nation around the world has legends of dragons, huge reptilian beasts that sound very much like our modern-day reconstructions of dinosaurs. Recently, some very interesting burial stones have been excavated from tombs in South America, which clearly show dinosaurs and humans together. These stones date from long before dinosaurs were reconstructed from their fossils. As far as we know, no dinosaurs are alive today, but we have good evidence that dinosaur-like beasts existed along with humans in the not-too-distant past. It all started back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
Bodhi Hodge is with us today. He's from Answers in Genesis, and he is a co-editor, along with Ken Ham, on the book entitled The Gender and Marriage War. It's a comprehensive guide to this very issue. Bodhi, we're going to discuss more about the book itself, but what is your real purpose in having this book released through Answers in Genesis?
Well, you know, we really want to reach our culture out here because so many people have fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we all sin. We all fall short in a great many ways. But when it comes to an issue like this, it's just exploding in our culture. Sometimes people are just crying out, hey, I need answers.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're Christian or whether they're secular, they need to understand why this debate exists and what the answer is to it. And, of course, the answer ultimately comes down to the blood of Jesus Christ. And hopefully we can get to that a little bit more later in the program.
And friends, whether you're have a young person in high school heading off to college, whether you as a parent are looking for answers and solid biblical truth in this regard, perhaps you're a pastor or a Christian worker, and all of a sudden you find your church is being confronted with issues you've never thought about before, this is quite a comprehensive guide to this issue on the gender and marriage war. We are making this available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. And we will get this book out to you. That covers the shipping. It'll cover everything. All you need to do is contact us. It's available on our website at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Bodhi, I'd like to segue to the topic of sodomy, of homosexuality. Today, our society uses the term gay. There's really no question on God's view on this subject, is there?
No, there really isn't. You know, from Old Testament to New Testament, the Bible's been consistent, you know, of the sin here. But, you know, I've even seen people within the church that try to redefine some of those passages.
Yes.
They want to say, well, here's what the passage says, but they want to take almost the opposite take on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, the common mantra of today, love is love. And if two people really love each other, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if they're of the same sex or not. How do you, we're hearing that increasingly in the church, and there are churches that are saying that. How do we respond to it?
Yeah, well, first off, where do they get two from?
Yes.
Two actually comes from a literal Genesis with an Adam and an Eve. But, you know, I mean, that's just the first step. But, you know, we've been drilled with this concept that, well, if two people love each other, that's okay. But here's what's interesting. Go back and look closely at the Bible. Whenever it came to homosexual issues, it was never called love. But consistently, over and over again, it was called lust. So what's happened is in our culture, people have confused lust with love, which goes to show they really haven't discovered what true love really is if they're confusing lust for love.
This book indicates the homosexual movement is religious. Now, this may confuse some, so would you explain that to us?
Yeah, sure. You know, earlier we were talking about sexual humanism.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual humanism is when people have deviated from God's word and God's ideas about sex to, you know, basically all sorts of, you know, whether it's the sexual freedom, the sexual revolution, but it also includes the transgender issues, the homosexuality issues, pederasty, pedophilia, all these other types of things are all lumped under sexual humanism. And that's what we're seeing. It is an entirely different religion because they've rejected God's word. It is a form of humanism, and that's where they're trying to get their morality from. And it breaks my heart to see that, actually.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
see people repent from that and come back to God and his word.
Now, there are those who say one can be gay and Christian. However, you state in this book here, the writers, that the LGBTQ plus movement is incompatible with the Christian worldview. Address this clash for us, if you would.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a big one. You know, and don't get me wrong, there are people who, you know, they, you know, might have been involved in a homosexual relationship. They get saved. They're still in that relationship. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. And, you know, I remember chatting with a man who was a former homosexual. He said when he got saved, you know, he was still in a homosexual relationship. And he said he kind of struggled with that. He said he realized it was wrong and he needed to get out of that. But it took him a little bit of time to kind of come to grips with that and actually do that. So there are those situations, you know, and I want people, you know, to be patient with people when they have come out of something like that. But at the same time, if somebody is holding on to say their homosexuality or any other sin, even if they want to be murderers or whatever it might be, if they're holding on to that sin more than they're holding on to Christ, then really Christ isn't their Lord yet. They haven't elevated Christ to the Lordship position. What we really need to do is repent of our sin and move closer to Christ and follow Christ in obedience. You know, the Bible says if you love Christ, you'll obey him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part to this, and that's the key to looking at the fruit. But at the same time, I want to encourage people to be patient with those who are coming out of it.
You know, Bodhi, at the same time, we see that one is not trapped in this. I mean, Paul wrote to the Corinthians saying, such were some of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to grasp.
Yeah, it really is. You know, sometimes we miss that. And I actually love that passage in Corinthians, because these guys, they had been involved in homosexual relationships in the past, and they had come out of that when they got saved. And that's a great example. And that's a taste of the hope right there,
mm-hmm.
To have that love of Jesus Christ right there.
Yeah, and really that relationship with Christ is so vital.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, there may be people listening to this right now, you know, that might be caught up in this sort of thing, and they're confused, and they don't know what to do. Hey, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Go to the Bible. See what the Bible says on the subject. The Word of God will never come back void. You know, look up these different passages. Read them in context. Go back. See what God's actually saying here. It's actually powerful and can change your life.
Bodhi Hodge with us today. We're talking about the gender and marriage war. Another area that you address in this book is the gender revolution, and the book will use the term gender dysphoria. So describe gender dysphoria, and what is driving this?
Well, there's a lot of politics driving it, I'll say that, but I don't want to go into that in too much detail. But ultimately, it's once again, it's sin. You know, with gender dysphoria, people are confused over their gender. We're in a culture now where people have now started to redefine gender as being just the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on how you feel, how do you feel? Well, you can come up with all these different genders. In fact, there's so many genders right now that people are throwing out there, different names. People, it's tough for people to even define it, but there's hundreds of genders now. At least it seems like there's that many. I know it's been well over 100 that's been mentioned on Facebook and in other places. But really all it is trying to redefine what gender is. And this is a big key. We see people redefining terms, whether it's back at the sexual revolution, whether it's the homosexual revolution, whether it's the gender revolution. We're seeing people redefine terms, whether it's the word gender, whether it's the word gay. Gay used to mean happy. You know, they didn't want to use the term homosexual. They wanted to use the word gay because it had a different connotation. So we do see this type of thing, you know, where people are redefining pedophilia to cross-generational sex. As soon as people start redefining terms and start giving an entirely new definition, that should be a red flag. It should be a warning to go back and say, okay, what's really going on here? Let's get to the root of this.
Well, many, as they look at this issue, and Bodhi, I'm sure you've heard this, you'll hear the phrase, born this way. Many who said, well, I'm born this way. Are people born homosexual? Are there biological boys that really are born girls on the inside, but their body says something different?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Babies never really do that. You look at babies, they're not born gay. In fact, you look at these children, you know, they're children, they're babies. You know, people have to be taught to look at themselves to be different. So we have to understand that there's a lot more to this. You know, as kids are growing up, people are being taught to look and say, hey, are you really a male? Are you really a female? Do you feel like a female? Do you feel like a male? And, you know, there's so many people who say, oh, you know, like let's say, for example, somebody who's born a male, a biological male, and they grow up and say, oh, well, I feel like a female. Well, how can they gauge that? Have they ever been an actual biological female to know what an actual biological female feels like? No, they really don't. So what we're seeing is a lot of arbitrary opinions applied to this subject. Now, philosophically, that's not very good. Being arbitrary is just being arbitrary. There's no actual logic behind that. So we have to be very careful when people try to make these types of claims. Now, does that mean somebody's confused on the issue? Absolutely means they're confused on the issue. We need to be praying for them. But we also want to pray that they repent and can have a proper understanding of gender, of male, of female, and of marriage.
Do you deny sexual abnormalities?
Well, there, of course, are some sexual abnormalities and things like that. I know there's been people that's brought up, oh, well, you know, you've got an XYY chromosome, for example. But those are the extreme rare conditions. You know, those aren't the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful of taking those type of mutational defects, which do happen in a sin, cursed, and broken world, and applying that as being the standard for everyone else. So we have to watch out for that sort of thing. So there are those abnormalities, but those need to be treated on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, there is a chapter in this Gender and Marriage War dealing with the matter of capturing the kids. Youth are really being targeted. Could you comment on this matter?
Well, any time that there's an evil society, the kids are the number one target. You know, even Hitler made statements like this. You know, let him have the youth and he'll control the next generation.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
really what he did. But look at all these other cultures, ancient cultures, pagans or whatnot. If a culture turned evil, it was the kids that were usually attacked first. You know, you go back to Moloch or Baal worship. You know, what did they do? They'd sacrifice the children. They're on the chop block. They're attacked. In our culture, we see rampant abortion, which is child sacrifice. And you know what? If the children survive abortion, guess what? They're going to be attacked left, right, and center. You got pedophiles out here trying to stalk them. You've got you know, kids being taught to follow after the secular worldview left, right, and center. The kids are probably more in the middle of this war than anyone else.
Hmm.
And sometimes we don't realize that. And I think that's why, you know, especially as Christians, we need to be looking after the kids of this next generation and really starting to train them in the truth in this.
And that's why it's important for the home, the parents to be equipped in these issues, for the church to be equipped in these issues as well.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Yeah. And folks, again, the Gender and Marriage War, it's a comprehensive guide to this issue. And it is a full-color book here of approximately 120 pages and available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more, available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. Bodie, we have a whole lot of issues going on today in which these are my civil rights and this is civil rights for individuals. How do we deal with this issue of civil rights when it comes to matters like transgenders? You know, the concept of transgenderism, biological boys wanting to play in girl sport, that's your civil right to do this, use the restrooms, locker room, showers, etc. How do we deal with the matter of civil rights?
Well, one of the biggest things we need to understand big picture is there's a difference between something being legal and something being moral. When a culture oftentimes goes down a path of doing all sorts of evil things, you know, we mentioned Hitler there just a moment ago, you know, and the Nazis, you know, a lot of the stuff that they did was legal. It was immoral, it was wrong, but they did it anyway because they got the laws passed for them to be able to do that sort of thing. So we need to watch out about that right off the bat. And that's what's happened in our culture, is they've elevated this concept, the sexually immoral issues, whether it's the gender aspects, transgender, whether it's the homosexuality, and they're trying to get it passed through laws to equate with civil things, you know, like, you know, whether it's religion or whether it's your skin tone or whatnot, they're trying to equate it with that. It's actually not, but they've got people convinced of thinking it is, and so all of a sudden, that's now in contradiction with other laws like religion and so forth. And so we're right now in the middle of a culture where we're seeing, at a political level, these battles coming through. And so be praying for this country. Be praying for the church.
Indeed. Friends, I've got a couple more questions for Bodie after the break, but let me also open our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask Bodie, maybe you're confronted with somebody, something, and you need to know how to respond to it or maybe disagree with what he said. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Nearly 90% of Christian children attend a public school. Filmmaker Colin Gunn, a homeschool father of seven, went on the field trip of a lifetime. Driving an old school bus, Colin and his family traveled across the nation, exploring the origins and social impact of public school education to discover if children are morally and physically safe, if public schools are religiously neutral, and should Christians try to be salt and light in secular schools. 102 minutes in length, it's an impactful message. In the companion book, Indoctrination, some 18 writers come together to look at how the educational system is actively at work to alter your child's moral values, worldview, and religious beliefs. It explores the biblical principles regarding education and who is ultimately responsible for our children's future. The Indoctrination DVD is available for a donation of $22. The book is available for a donation of $18. Or you can obtain both for a donation of $35. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, if you're looking for biblical answers that addresses these issues head on, you'll find that in The Gender and Marriage War. It's a comprehensive guide. And when you have Bodie and Ken Ham teaming up with a number of writers on this very issue and chapter after chapter to address the very issues that are being confronted in society today, it's a powerful resource. Again, the number is 800-729-9829. If you'd like to obtain a copy of the book, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. If you have a question you would like to ask of our guest today, perhaps you're a pastor, a Christian leader, or a parent and just been confronted with something, and how do I deal with this issue? Our number, 800-733-9829. Bodie, we've gone down this road so far as a society. Is it too late to get back on track and reverse the policies that have put us in this place?
Well, you know, if you look back at the Old Testament, there were so many times when Israel had really gone off the deep end, if you will, where they really defied God in so many different ways, and it totally erupted into sin. And guess what? When they repented and cried out to God, God would heal that nation. And, you know, that's what I want to encourage people to do, to cry out to God and say, Lord, forgive us. You know, we as a nation, we've gone astray. Help us get back to the right path. You know, nothing's too hard for God on things like that.
Yeah, and didn't we see that with Nineveh, a very wicked society? But they did just what you said. They repented.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the church? I mean, the church is going through doors that we have seen go through before. Even those who have been mainline as far as their views of Scripture are just throwing it aside. You're charged to the church in this regard.
Well, I'll tell you what, we as a church, as a whole, if I can use a biblical analogy here, we need to pull the plank out of our own eye before we reach for what's going on in the culture. We as a church need to get back to the authority of the Bible in every area. We need to get rid of things like Big Bang and evolution in millions of years, which have been plaguing our churches now, in some cases, for almost 200 years. We need to get back to God's Word when it comes to the issue of homosexuality, when it comes to marriage. Let God be God. So often we say, well, here's what God says, but you know what? I think we're going to deviate from that a little bit. No, we need to get back to God's Word and let God be God. And sometimes, you know, when we're dealing with all this evil that's floating around in our culture, the Bible says be patient during affliction. Be still and know that God is God. We need to step back and humble ourselves before a holy God. That's what we as a church need to do. That's what we need to do in our families as well. I don't want to neglect that either.
And our lines are packed here, and we'll get to the calls in just a moment. But, Bodie, I want us to also address the very heart or the core of this. Really is the gospel, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. You know, if we go back to the very beginning, a perfect God made a perfect creation. Deuteronomy 32:4 says every work of God is perfect. That's what we expected. At the end of the creation week, God declared everything very good. It really was perfect. But when man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, our respective greatest grandparents, God cursed the ground, he cursed the animals, and he sentenced man to die. The world went from a perfect state to an imperfect and broken state. That's why we need new heavens and a new earth. This one's cursed and broken. Romans 8:22 talks about that. But what we needed was a perfect, ultimate, final sacrifice that could take the infinite punishment from the infinite Father. And that's where Jesus Christ stepped in. Jesus Christ died that infinite punishment that we deserve for our sin, so that Christ's righteousness can then be transferred to us, so that we'll be seen as spotless before the Lamb. Because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short on a great many things. And I know we're talking about homosexuality here and other types of sexual sin and gender sins. We need to realize that all sin is punishable by a perfect God. And we've all fallen short. And so we all need to humble ourselves before God.
God's provided the way through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a gift that's available by grace through faith.
Exactly.
Bodie Hodge, your guest with us here today on Crosstalk. Let's go to the phone lines, beginning in Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Hi, fellas. I had a question.
Yeah.
I have two nieces, and they're by my sister. She's married to their father. And they both decided to be lesbians, and I pray with them. I mean, I haven't prayed with them, but I'm married. I have children. We're setting the example. I pray for them, you know, that they turn away from it. But, you know, our grandmother read the Bible with my two sisters and myself. So we know what the word says. What can I do?
Well, definitely be continuing prayer. There's no doubt about that. Another thing, though, is, you know, the key is trying to get these nieces to understand that the Bible is the absolute truth. And just like what you guys did, go through the Bible. Learn from that. You know, fact is, a book like this might be good for them just to be able to dive into the subject. Because, you know, in our culture, my guess is a lot of these kids nowadays, they've never been taught too much about what the Bible says. And so it's good for them to learn what the Bible says, read it in context, and a book like this might really help them out to get into the Bible on that.
Matter of fact, in the book, though, it's primarily written to believers. Right in the very preface of the book, you have to the unbeliever reading this book. I mean, you have a direct message there, Bodie.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we wrote it generally geared toward the church to help people understand it, but we figured there's going to be a lot of people who are not Christians or might have even been caught up in some of the sexual sin that's going to read this. And so there are a lot of great things they can get out of this book. We didn't write this book as you know, something to hammer, you know, beat somebody over the head with.
Yeah.
We want them to understand the issues and also understand the love of Jesus Christ that can rescue them from that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Leroy. Nancy is calling from Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air, Nancy.
Yes. What is your thinking, please? On there's a scripture, what God has joined, but not man put asunder. Does God join a rebellious daughter to a man when the father refuses to give the daughter away to a certain man when she's in rebellion? Wouldn't they be living in fornication?
Oh, boy, that's a good question right there. You know, I haven't really dealt with a lot of experience on that one, so if I can direct you to your local church, maybe sit down and chat with the pastor on that one and look at some of those passages specifically. Because I don't want to give you some advice that if I haven't looked it up myself on that one. So I might recommend you to your local pastor and elders on that one.
Thank you, Nancy. Warren in Watertown, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Warren calling. I was calling, you know, I think a lot of this transgender stuff comes from the parents. You know, like if you got a little boy and he gets hurt and he cries, the daddy calls him a sissy, you know. And the Lord cried, instead of comforting the child, you know, daddy calls him a sissy. And I've got a 13-year-old granddaughter, the only grandchild I have. And my son-in-law plays with her and stuff more like a boy. And I think the biggest problem with the, you know, with all of it is parents aren't bringing the children up in the way of the Lord.
Okay, Warren, thank you for your comments.
Yeah. I think there's a big aspect of that. You know, the Bible commands us to bring our children up in the admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible commands, you know, in Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not turn from it. But, you know, like I was saying earlier in the interview, so often parents are sending their children to an educational system that teaches transgender, that teaches LGBT, and we wonder why those kids are following after that. So, yeah, a big portion of that's on the parents, but at the same time, it's who the parents are letting teach their children.
Thank you, Warren, for the call. Our number is 800-733-9829. And coupled with that, Bodie, I'm sure that many have seen this Barna study that came out, the rising number of millennials now declaring themselves to be, you know, transgender or LGBT in some aspect of this, but they've been indoctrinated through a system.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen that. The millennials and even Gen Z, you know, they've really been hit hard with this at younger and younger ages. You know, I was recently inside of a public grade school, you know, with kids, you know, all the way down to, you know, kindergarten and first grade. And, you know, I was kind of shocked and surprised to see all the LGBT flags and all the stuff these kids are taught at a very, very young age.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of that, I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is child sex abuse. They're teaching these kids about sex at extremely young ages.
Wow. We're going next to Rick in Tempe, Arizona. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, so I have a 13-year-old daughter in public school here, and, you know, she's determined that she's going to be, you know, lesbian, and like, and that's and her perspective is like it's socially acceptable and it's not like bad anymore, and that's just what all the kids are doing. And you know, from like a father's perspective, it's like, well, at least I don't have to worry about her being pregnant, but it's just not the right thing to do. And her mom's freaking out, and it's all over the cartoons and the TV programs. It's like she's being bombarded from every angle with this like gay and lesbian agenda. And it's just, I don't know really how to talk about it in a way that I'm not offensive to her, to get her to look at the right perspective, to steer in the right direction.
Rick, thank you for that. I'm going to have Bodhi respond to it. And Bodhi, I caught a couple of things Rick is saying here. He started talking about her perspective is this, dad's perspective is this. We really need to get to God's perspective on this, do we not?
Yeah, we really do. That's where it needs to be. You know, and all this, of course, bathe it all in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, because the Lord can do things that you'd be surprised at. But notice, you know, she's being heavily influenced by the secular world. She's being drilled with it at school. She's being drilled with it by friends. You know, the peer pressure on this is just immense. And she's to a point now where she actually thinks this is okay. Now, step back and look at this from a big picture. She has been influenced by the religion of sexual humanism. And she has bought into it hook, line, and sinker and thinks it's okay. You know, imagine the number of people who were raised up by Hitler back, you know, at the time of World War II, and these guys were fully immersed in what Hitler was teaching. It's the same sort of thing that's happening now. She needs to get back to God's perspective, back to what the Bible says. You know, with something like that, I mean, this book could be very useful, but there's other books that might be really good, too. And I'm going to suggest a very basic book. It's a book simply entitled Begin. For somebody who may not know a whole lot about Christianity, they're brand new to it, or they don't know what the Bible says, that's a good one. Most of it's scripture. It's Genesis 1 to 11, the Ten Commandments, the Gospel of John, the Book of Romans, and the last two chapters of Revelation. It also deals with a number of other little questions that people might ask as they go through the Bible. But that's the Bible in a nutshell, in a big picture. And that's a great initial study to get people into the Word of God, especially teenagers, young kids who are just now starting out, and they don't have answers to anything. They don't even know what the Bible says. So that might be a good spot for them, too. A book simply entitled Begin.
Rick, is this something where you could sit down with your daughter and take even like this book, The Gender and Marriage War, and say, let's talk about this from what God's Word has to say?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea, and I it's troubling, you know. So It'd be way easier to put it off, you know, on God's shoulders and just let him handle it, you know, so this is a good way to do that.
Great. And be proactive as a parent to guide your daughter in that regard. Thank you so much for the call today, Rick. Let's go to Eddie next in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Thank you for the good programming today. And America has left God, left the Bible, and is promoting secular humanism and any kind of atheism or anything. Paul mentioned to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 19, he said, some having put away concern and faith and made shipwreck, and I think America pulled anchor and dropped its anchor at the wrong place. And, you know, the Bible says the way of transgressor is hard, and I think America one day is going to have to come to terms with the fact they've left God. The Bible does say in Psalm 19:17, all the nation forget God, be turned into hell.
Yeah.
You can turn on the news and see the evidence of that.
Yeah.
I don't know no way out of this except do a minute of repentance. I don't foresee it. I see it getting worse. But thank you for the great programming. And would to God America would pull back in the harbor of the Word of God and faith. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Eddie, for the call. We're up against a break. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I've been looking at hate speech laws that are rising all over the world, from Scotland to Canada, and now calls in the U.S. increasing for hate speech legislation. What hate speech? Well, in many cases, speaking the truth about Islam. Now, they're going to push these so-called hate speech laws, many of them, including Tony Blair in Europe, by saying they want to fight anti-Semitism. Yet the funny thing is, and it's not funny, most of these people don't care one iota about the Jewish people or the Jewish state. That's a cover for implementing legislation to criminalize those who speak truth about things such as Islam or the LGBTQ community. What does the Bible say about this? Galatians 4:6, I have therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And yet, we should be ready to tell the truth even with a penalty.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Bodhi Hodge is with us today from Answers in Genesis. And folks, we'd encourage you to obtain a copy of the book, The Gender in Marriage War, to help equip you with these very things. Available for donation of $16 or more to Crosstalk here. It's available on our website, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 800-729-9829. And on this, I know many times these, you know, provide for so many more questions that you may have on many different things. Bodhi, one of the things I appreciate about answersingenesis.org is such a comprehensive website to deal with just a voluminous number of questions and issues to give us a biblical foundation for these issues. Answersingenesis.org, and you can find out much more about your ministry there as well, correct?
Yeah, answersingenesis.org, that's the place to go. And, you know, of course, they can come to the Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum and, you know, have direct access to us here as well. And, you know, we usually have live speakers and so on. Sometimes I'm out there doing that as well.
Great. Let's go to Mannheim, Pennsylvania. Scott is calling. Scott, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a twofold question. How do we deal with family that claim to be Christian that do not want to accept these issues as problems, and also the church that doesn't want to speak about them from the pulpit?
Hmm.
Oh, those are both big questions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in both of these, you know, I always like to encourage people to be praying about it first and foremost. But secondly, don't be afraid to question that worldview. I think it's very powerful to point out that, hey, this is a religious debate. Whether you're talking with family, whether you're talking within the church, you know, especially if a church is trying to avoid the subject, they don't want to deal with it. You need to point out, well, this is another religion. It's starting to infiltrate the church. What are we going to do about it? Once people start realizing, oh, it's a religious debate, maybe I should start dealing with it. But, you know, with family, it's always difficult to talk to your own family. But you know what? Don't be afraid to do it. I know it's tough, but don't be afraid to dive into the subject. Do it kindly. Bathe it in prayer. But you know what? Always take it back to the Word of God. And do it humbly. You know, I know so much. Sometimes I've seen people just say they want to take the Bible and they want to beat it over somebody's head. Sometimes that's not always the best way to do it. Sometimes a good way of doing it is just question, hey, have you ever looked this up, see what God has to say on the subject? You know, there's no greater authority than God. Let's go take a look at it. We can do this together. We can do this, you know, as a study. That might be a good example and way to do it.
And Bodhi is also longing, you know, for his church to speak out on these issues.
Yeah, and you know what? That's where you have to encourage the pastor, the elders, and you know, even a lot of the Christian leaders to get educated themselves on it. I think one of the things that I found is a lot of these guys, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And so they need to be educated on it. Have them come to some conferences. Answers in Genesis is always running several conferences a year where they can learn about this and get the book. You know, get into it, and I think that'll really help educate them so that they can deal with it.
So even getting this book and say, here, Pastor, you know, there's a lot of great information here. Maybe you could address these issues sometime here at church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott, for the call. Tim is calling from Springfield, Missouri. Tim, you're on the air.
Yeah, I guess I got a comment and kind of a question. In a manner of speaking, if we read all the books from all your secular Roman times and we read the Bible, everything kind of plays into the orgy. They did all that stuff back in them days. I guess my question would be, I know when an evil soul dies, supposedly goes to hell, is there a probability that Lucifer himself could figure out a way to bring these souls back and incarnate these into people so that he can have his way with the earth the way he wanted to?
I
know that. Okay.
Hypothetical, but it's interesting to think about. But you know, I think sometimes we give Satan a little bit too much credit for how much power he has. He has next to no power next to God. And so, you know, if someone dies and God puts them in hell, that's the wrath of God that's on them. Satan does not have the power to take that away from God. You know, so God is the one that's instituting that. But at the same time, Satan himself is bound by God as well. And so when Satan is fully cast into hell, he's going to have no power there either. He's also going to be under the wrath of God. So you need to be very careful of elevating Satan to this position of having some sort of power against God and being able to have control over hell. He's not in charge of hell. In fact, that was a place prepared for his punishment, too.
Thank you, Tim. Jackie in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a two-part comment. You had a caller earlier talking about his 13-year-old daughter who's choosing to be bisexual or whatever they call it today. I think it's interesting that a 13-year-old would be dating or seeing anyone of any sex. I think the father need to not only talk to her about the Bible, but he need to keep a close eye on her. That's one part of my comment. The second I think the church need to wake up and pull their children out of public school. I know that's easy to say, but as a parent who retired from a department store that making very little money, me and my husband was willing to pull our money together with my daughter in order to pay for our two grandkids to get out of public school. We got to stop letting these schools just start. We got to stop letting these schools brainwash our children and be paying them to do it. And now teachers don't even have to let you know what they're saying to your children. Yeah. Who have the power here? If we as parents stand up, pull our kids out of these schools, we got to do more than talk as Christians. Our preachers, our ministers do have to stand up and preach against all this sin. But as parents, it's time for us to put our mouth and our money out of the public school and take our children before we lose them.
Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate your comment.
Amen. Yeah, you know, I think she's made some great points there. You know, Christians should definitely be engaging their children in Christian education. And so, you know, I do kind of echo a lot of the thoughts that she has in there. So,
thank you, Jackie. And we have run out of time. Bodie, we've got just over 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners on this issue?
Hey, I want people to realize, first and foremost, what we're dealing with here is a religious issue. People who've bought into sexual humanism, even if it's the kids, they've been influenced by the world to buy into that religion. And if we get people to start realizing it's a religious debate, and guess what? God doesn't lose religious debates. Get back to God and his word. That's the key. And friends, bathe this in prayer. Bathe it with the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is the one that can rescue anyone from sin.
Amen. Amen. Bodie, thank you so much for being with us today and certainly editing this book along with others to put together a resource to be a vital tool to parents, to Christian leaders, to churches. So important. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bodie Hodge with us today from Answers in Genesis. And folks, again, their website, answersingenesis.org. From that, you'll find the links there to Ark Encounter, Creation Museum. Wonderful, wonderful place to visit as individuals or as families or as groups. And by the way, if you'd like to obtain this book, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more, go to vcyamerica.org or call 800-729-9829. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.